National Geographic explorer Zeb Hogan searches the world for very large fish, giants, megafish that are often seen as monsters from the deep. The creatures Hogan seeks are usually freshwater fish that can be found in rivers and waters around the world. I spoke with Hogan about megafish in the wild. Most of the time when people think about very large fish, they obviously think about the ocean. And you think that that's where you would have to be to have very large fish. But that's not true. You can have a significantly huge creature in what you would think of as a fairly small body of water compared to the ocean.
Yeah, definitely. These are true life Loch Ness monsters, freshwater fish that can grow over 6 feet long. Some of them weigh more than 200 pounds. I call them megafish for my project, but here at the Tennessee Aquarium, they're river giants. People have a chance to go to the Tennessee Aquarium and see some of these fish that grow as large as some of their saltwater cousins.
Is this a natural occurrence within these species, or are we talking a few oddballs out there?
This is completely natural. There are about 24 species of fish all over the world. Most of them occur in the largest lakes and rivers on Earth. So the Amazon, the Nile, the Mississippi, the Danube, the Mekong, the Yangtze. Some of them people may have heard of already, giant catfish, giant carp, sturgeon. But some of them are a little bit more unusual, like giant freshwater stingray, arapaima, an air-breathing fish that lives in the Amazon, that in South America, that can grow up to 400 pounds, be almost 10 feet long. And so, yeah, it's completely natural, but it is unusual to have fish these large, so they aren't everywhere.
I imagine feeding something like that, you're going to have a small population just because there's not going to be a large amount of food in their space.
Yeah, you're exactly right. So a lot of these fish were probably naturally rare, and unfortunately, as human activity, fishing, habitat degradation, those kinds of things have also been a problem for these fish more recently. About 70% of them now are in danger of extinction. And that's one reason why an exhibit like the new exhibit at the Tennessee Aquarium is so important. I'm lucky enough, I have a chance to go out through my work with National Geographic and work with the TV show Monster Fish, go out and see these fish in the wild. But obviously, most people don't have a chance to go to the Nile, to the Amazon, to see these things. So you can actually go to the aquarium and see some of these fish. Freshwater stingray, red-tailed catfish, lake sturgeon, and all of these big fish are here, right here, you know, in the Tennessee Aquarium.
When you've gone out in the wild and chased down these giants, these monsters, have you ever been frightened by one?
People ask me, how can you get in the water with these? But as is the case with a lot of lightning or sharks or whatever we're afraid of, you know, we're much more at risk when we walk out our front door and get in our car. I don't know how many of your listeners are familiar, for example, with an alligator gar. An alligator gar, it's one of the megafish we have right here in the U.S. It can grow very large. Their mouth is full of teeth. And I've swam in a tank full of alligator gar, 5-6 foot long alligator gar, 30 or 40 of them, swam in a tank of them, and it was clear that they were more scared of me. So while some of these fish can be dangerous on occasion, a stingray that, for example, someone might step on and get a barb in their foot, a freshwater sawfish that has a snout with teeth on it that doesn't want to hurt you, but if you get in its way, you're going to get a jab. 99 times out of 100, these fish are harmless. And really, the only one that's at risk from these fish are anglers, because sometimes they might catch them and then, for example, if they want to release the fish, have to get the hook out of the mouth. That can always be a little bit risky. Or scientists who handle these fish as part of their work.
Are all of these giants protected?
No, that's another good question. For example, again, I'll bring up the alligator gar. The alligator gar, perhaps because it's not the best looking fish, up until recently was considered a trash fish. People didn't want to catch it. They didn't want to eat it. If they caught it, they might even throw it on the bank rather than put it back in the river. But it's only been recently that, for example, in Texas, they have started a limit on the number of alligator gar that you can catch, because there was finally some recognition that these fish are incredible. You know, a fish that can grow up to 10 feet long, weigh up to 400 pounds, an ancient fish that's been on Earth for millions of years. There's finally a little bit of recognition saying, hey, this is unique. This is something that doesn't exist everywhere else. Let's do a little bit to help protect it.
Are there certain types of these fish that are indigenous just to one pool? Do you find the same fish in different areas around the globe?
freshwater fish, generally speaking, you do have a lot of endemics, fish that are only found in small areas. Those tend to actually be smaller fish. So, for example, in Nevada, we have the Devil's Hole pupfish, and it's only found in one single pool. The entire population, the species, only exists in one pool. That's a little bit more unusual for these larger fish. The larger fish, a lot of them are migratory, they have large ranges, and they have large distributions. So certainly, like, for example, the Mekong giant catfish, it's only found in the Mekong River. But in the Mekong River, it's fairly widespread.
Bringing these giant fish to the aquarium presented some challenges. Tom Demas is a fish biologist with the Tennessee Aquarium.
We tried to be opportunistic with this project once we knew it was kind of on the back burner. It had been discussed and developed, and we just weren't quite sure when we were going to do it. And we were very fortunate to find another facility that had quite a collection of catfish, very small catfish, that they had done a Catfishes of the World exhibit, and they were done and looking to offload these catfish. And we brought in one box of fish. It was a nice-sized box, roughly the size of a pallet and about 3 feet deep in water. In that one box alone, probably 50% of the megafish that we now have. Those animals were free. They were a donation. We just had to transport them. And that was about 2.5, maybe 3 years ago. They came in at about 3 to 4 inches in length, and we've been growing them. A couple advantages to that. One, we know we took a group of animals that eventually were going to outgrow somebody's aquarium and either be disposed of or improperly released. We've given them a home, and now we have something to do with them. We look forward to them getting much larger than they are now. Some of those guys are 4 feet long, probably on the order of 30 pounds, and can get to better than 9 feet. It's interesting, it's fun, it's exciting, and that's where the lion's share of our fish came from. Other animals that we have, we brought in from other facilities or hatcheries, and then one group, we have some of the giant freshwater stingrays we brought from Australia as adults. That was quite a process to be able to get those guys here.
That's pretty cool. Grow your own giant. I like that.
Just add water.
Just add water.
Just add water and a lot of food.
Lots of food. You could have divers in the tanks with these.
We are, actually. Staff right now is diving the tank. We're trying to work out how to feed. One of the animals we have, folks who may have seen Dr. Hogan with it on TV or ever learned anything about this animal, is called a Wallago. It's a type of catfish, and they're very unassuming-looking fish. They've got a big, wide head, kind of like a bullhead catfish or something, and a body much like a knife fish or maybe kind of like an eel. And they almost look like they're smiling, just the way their mouth is shaped. But they've got this amazing set of teeth that you would never, ever, ever want to get bitten by. But to address Dr. Hogan's point, their goal would not be to attack my divers. However, the last thing I'm going to let my diver do is hand feed that animal. So we will have divers in the tank. Some animals, like the blue catfish and red tail, will be hand-fed. The stingrays will be hand-fed. But animals like the Wallago will be fed with tongs. And then we have some nice alligator gar in there as well. And we'll try to focus on getting them up at the surface. They slash sideways when they feed. And I just don't need a big animal like that begging from a diver. And then next thing you know, the hand is in the wrong place at the wrong time. But yeah, the animals are completely safe to dive with, completely safe to be in the water with while feeding. And I think it's going to be real exciting, not only for the divers, but also for our guests to watch.
One of the exciting things about having these fish at the Tennessee Aquarium is that in the wild, because of overfishing or other reasons, a lot of times these fish nowadays aren't growing as large as they used to. And so one of the fun things about having them in an exhibit is that if they do well, in 10 or 20 years, we might start seeing sizes in captivity that we don't even see in the wild anymore. I'll be very curious to come back in 10 or 20 years and look at the exhibit again, and who knows, maybe there will be a 10-foot fish staring me back at the face.
Follow the links from the Around and About blog at wutc.org for more details. For WUTC's Around and About, this is Rabbit.